follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Happy Friday. Mitch back on Monday. Pauly and JJ, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Good MLB card. We'll hit it in an hour. Rapid fire. Cubbies just won 3-0 and 10 preseason games this weekend. The late game Saturday, Seattle laying 2.5 against the Cowboys, 37.5 the total. Dallas 2-18 straight up. Last 20 road preseason games. It's been bad in practice. Schottenheimer's lighting them up. He's been frustrated with what's going on. You're watching the Seahawks on Hard Knocks. Kubiak takes the Raider job. Fleury is their new OC. A couple good quotes. McDonald's doing a great job of putting me through the ringer in terms of challenging situations. We go through different ones every day. For some reason, we're always down by a touchdown with 50 seconds left and no timeouts. But I'm adjusting to those situations, and doing it for the first time at this level is going to present some challenges. Much of the Seattle playbook will remain the same, but they will change with an increase in shifts and motions. It's Darnold, Locke, and Milroe with their rotation. I want no part of the Cowboys here. Again, going back with that hideous road record, and no matter who the coach has been, they haven't cared about the preseason, JJ.
It's an excellent observation. And, you know, thinking about the Seattle Seahawks for a second here, Pauly, can you think of a Super Bowl champion that has been more under the radar, despite the fact that they have Hard Knocks that's on each and every week on HBO, but because it's Sam Darnold, because it's not the sexiest of teams? If I'm Mike McDonald and the Seahawks, I'm using that to my advantage all year. Hey, guys, nobody cares about us. Nobody's talking about us. Nobody is even entertaining the idea that we can go back-to-back. I think it's a great spot. And listen, Dallas in these preseason games, I have high hopes for the Cowboys, but you got to follow some of the trends here. Some teams just don't take these games seriously. The Cowboys are one of them. Yep. So as far as this game Saturday night, Seattle will pass.
Yep. Well, there's three things there that you hit on. Number one, it's all the Rams hype, and they're as low as 5-1 to win the Super Bowl at Caesars. You also lose Kubiak, your great OC, and you lose Walker. So, and with the Darnold thing, too, that you hit on, where, okay, great story, but good luck doing it again. So all good points about not a lot of Seattle love here. And look at the line to start the season Wednesday night. I mean, they just blasted and embarrassed the Patriots in the Super Bowl. They're only 3.5 at home in that game.
And low-key, Pauly Howard, I kind of like the Patriots.
Oh, wow.
And I was all over Seattle in the Super Bowl when they matched up in February. New England's, you know, the weird thing about New England, everything about that team would say, hey, they're going to take a step back, tougher schedule, Super Bowl hangover, all of these obvious trends that stare you right in the face. They did go and had A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs to a guy who was the runner-up for the MVP, might I add, in Drake May. Like, doesn't that shake out to be a major Drake May revenge spot in the Pacific Northwest? And I have to imagine the public's going to be all over the Seattle Seahawks in that game.
All of them, yeah. Okay. All of a sudden, they got kicking issues, though, too. That was a debacle last night in New England. Here's what JJ's talking about with the incredible trends and numbers. Go up to VSiN.com and read Mackinnon. Atlanta, 1-14 ATS at home, 5-25 ATS overall. Bears on a 10-2 ATS run. Straight up winner in the Denver games, 39-1-1. Denver 7 in a row straight up in ATS. Houston 16-3 under run. The Chiefs have lost 6 in a row. The Rams have covered 6 in a row in the preseason. Baltimore 19-5 ATS run on the road. And one more. Eagles 1-8 ATS at home. Let me read this about the Bills. And they, you know, the obstructed views with the new stadium, with the seats, I cannot believe when they came out and they said it was planned with some of the seats. That's incredible. They're up to 3.5 against Carolina tomorrow morning. 37.5 bet up to 39.5. The starters will go for both teams. Josh Allen, this group from offense to defense is the tightest knit group I've been around since I've entered the league. The defense is meshing well together. Just even when you walk in the dorm room or walk in the cafeteria, guys sitting down talking, really getting to know each other. There's a lot of love on this team, and that'll show on the field. Good quotes there from Allen. Big year for the Bills and Allen.
Very curious your take on Buffalo this year, Paulie, because listen, Josh Allen is the quarterback of the team that make the playoffs. They've done that literally every year he's been a starter, with the exception of his rookie year. They're minus 130 to win the division, which I think is properly priced. Mm-hmm. AFC's tough schedule. You're going to play the NFC North. You're going to play the AFC West, three very difficult games, and then you throw in the Raiders. My read on the AFC East at the moment, I think 10-7 might be good enough to go and win this division. I do not get the sense, despite Josh talking a big game about the camaraderie and the kinship and the kumbaya that's being sung from offense and defense, what have you, their schedule does not set up to go and be a 13 or 14 win team this year. I don't see it. I think it's a battle between Buffalo and New England, and I think whoever ends up winning the division is probably like a 3 or 4 seed within the AFC. I don't see, like, let's put it this way. I'll be stunned if Buffalo is like the number one seed and home field is throughout Western New York with those obstructed view seats.
Well, McDermott was a polarizing coach. So now with Brady taking over, you know, he said that we left a lot out there and McDermott wouldn't let me cook a lot of the times. This will be interesting to see what they look like offensively. And it was right there for him on a platter with no Mahomes and no Kansas City. And they blew that. Their rotation, Allen, and Bouchelle for the Bills. How about we talk about the king of preseason? It's Harbaugh. Let's go out where you're at. He's 47-17 career straight up in the preseason. They won 23 in a row when he was at Baltimore with the record. The Vikings bet up to 2.5, a 3-point move on the total. Both quarterback rotations are fantastic. 38.5 up to 41.5. Giants are going to play the guys. Harbaugh says he wants to see everybody here, and that's why the total keeps moving. You're looking at your guy Murray, and then McCarthy, and Wentz, and then with the Giants, it's Dart, Winston, and Allen. So I would expect points in this one Saturday morning. Can't go against Harbaugh, though, in the preseason. I'm surprised with the Minnesota money.
Yeah, a lot of Minnesota steam, Paulie, and I think it speaks to, even though nobody loves J.J. McCarthy, if the basis of this preseason game is going to be, okay, you go from Kyler for a series of two, McCarthy for a quarter plus, Wentz maybe goes and finishes up the game, it's like you got three representative quarterbacks. And maybe that's where the steam is coming from. But I, for one, am not getting in front of that steam. Harbaugh, you mentioned this, from his days with the Ravens, he does nothing but win in the preseason. Whether it's with second, third string guys, they're ready to play. They play to win. They're not messing around here, so I would go against this team. If I were playing this game, it's Giants for me.
Can I talk you into the Browns? Will you take the Browns?
Okay, absolutely.
All right, Bears. Go ahead.
That might be it. I have one of two plays I'm debating for my first ever preseason play that we'll unveil a little bit later on the show.
Okay.
It's either going to be Denver or it's going to be the Browns. It'll be one or the other.
Got to do it. Browns opened 1-point dog. They're now laying 3.5 at FanDuel. And there's other 3.5s out there as well. Kyler Gordon on the PUP list. Bryant's out 4 to 6 months. Hicks on the PUP list. They lost two backup defensive backs to significant leg injuries. Cam Lewis left practice Saturday. In need of reinforcements, they signed 10-year veteran safety Xavier Woods and worked out 9 defensive backs last week. It's a mass unit. Dennis Allen's frustrated. He's just looking for 11 guys to get on the field. How bad it's been. And you have Burden, who's also out for the preseason with a groin injury. No Williams, and it's everything you want. The new coach in Cleveland off a bad year. Let's go get a W. And I got Watson playing a half. I got Sanders playing a third quarter. I got the quarterback rotations I want. And I'm battling for not only first string, but second string with the Browns. If the Bears beat me, so be it.
I have a major problem with Chicago's defense going into the year. First of all, I'll be on Cleveland, I think, in this game. I have a feeling this is going to end up being our first preseason play. But the problem is, the temptation is, Paul, we have games tonight. So I feel like I need one tonight. Hopefully it's a winner. And then it'll either be 2-0 with Cleveland for your boy, or I'll be trying to recoup my losses with Cleveland. Bear defense. That how are they getting after the quarterback this year, Paulie? You know, Ben Johnson's talking a big game, saying he wants to have the highest scoring offense in the history of the NFL. He might need the highest scoring offense in the history of the NFL to go and get back as division champions, because the Lions are loaded. The Packers are getting totally disrespected. And Minnesota's got a lot of talent, was a winning team a year ago. I love Caleb Williams. I love Ben Johnson. That defense for the Bears is a problem.
I'm with you on Denver, too. I can't get away from these numbers. These are ridiculous. Seven in a row they've won in the preseason, averaging 32 points a game. And then you're taking on a team that's 1-14 ATS at home and a 5-25 ATS run. And after Tua, it's Cooper Rush, who you just signed, and then Jack Strand, the 22-year-old undrafted rookie out of Division II Minnesota State Moorhead. I mean, come on. And Peyton goes for it. He tries to win these games. And it's four right here at Circa, four at the South Point, 3.5 at everywhere else. I got to take the Broncos again tonight, too. Also, open 37 up to 41.5 at FanDuel with the total.
And Sim Elliger, second half.
Yeah.
He's a slinger.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want him starting for me in a regular season game. He could play the second half of a preseason game. I'll take that. We could do worse.
A lot of preseason picks and a lot of future picks as these guys are back tonight on VSiN. Excited to watch them tonight. Ryan Kramer in studio coming up next on Follow the Money.
Favorite Follow the Money game. Live from the VSiN studios.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
This is door number one.
New high score!
What does high score mean? New high score, is that bad? What does that mean? Did I break it?
Or door number two.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
Here's Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
I jumped the gun. Mike Martz with the clock management. Kramer in 15 minutes. Okay. The creativity here, I tried to be get it off the charts. I heard you was stormy earlier in the week. So, door one. Do you believe Embiid can stay healthy for an entire playoff run? Or door two, you believe more in Kyler Murray?
This is an easy one for me, Paulie, and I can't believe I'm saying this. It's Joel Embiid. Because in theory, you don't have to play him in the regular season because of the loaded nature of Philadelphia's roster with the King and with Jaylen Brown and with Maxey and with Edgecombe. They don't need to play Joel Embiid more than 30 games as far as I'm concerned. And as I told Stormy the other day, and as I'm going to tell you right now, after the last 2 years,
oh, no.
I'm out of the Kyler Murray business.
Why?
Sorry, I am, because he doesn't play. He's made of glass. And he doesn't like football. These are all check marks against you, buddy boy. And despite my love affair with Brian Flores as a DC, I like O'Connell as a head coach. Roster's good. Not a lot of depth, but they're top heavy. I will not, sir, be in the Kyler Murray business this year. So door one, right out of the gate.
Wow, I'm shocked by that. There's just no way, no how Embiid can be healthy for a playoff run. But to each his own. There's an unbelievable article up on theringer.com about Mark Walter and how much money does he have? Was it his money? The problems going on in his life. All of a sudden the Lakers are sold. You know, it was one of the highlights of my life owning the Lakers. You didn't own the Lakers. You rented the Lakers. You flipped it in 10 months. Incredible. So the Lakers just set back-to-back records going from 10 million and then 10 billion and then 12.5 billion. Door one, Mr. New York. Dolan sells the Knicks. Door two, the Steinbrenners sell the Yankees.
This is going to sound crazy. I think it's Hal Steinbrenner selling the Yankees. Because let's just look at this reasonably. The Yankees just got on board with some private equity firm. So you have some private equity firm that's now finally tied into financing Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees. Does he ever get to a point where he's like, you know what? This is done. We had a good run. It's now time for private equity to go and, whoever the next Steve Cohen might be to go and buy the team. James Dolan just won a championship. He's no longer vilified.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden, that Spear, they're printing money.
Yeah.
I think Dolan's here to stay. I say out of those two choices, in this case, it's door number two.
Wow. I just can't believe, like Moose said earlier in the week, that it's no longer championship or bust. And it says, hey, we made the playoffs again. Okay, not bad. Not a bad season. Well, extensions for everyone, right? I mean, the drought is unacceptable since 2009. But then again, like you
talked about it.
Yeah. But the other day.
18 years.
Yeah.
Almost 20. Crazy.
Door one, you're not buying the Bengals hype. Door two, you're not buying the Giants hype.
Oh, it's an easy one for me. It's door two. I'm not buying the Giants hype. I'm in on Cincinnati this year. Right. If Joe Burrow plays north of 15 games, the Bengals, take this to the bank, are an easy playoff team. Because they're much improved on defense. They arguably have the best duo of wide receiver that you're going to find in the sport with Chase and Higgins. And I'm a Joe Burrow stan. I think he's a stud. I think he's an assassin. Paulie, how many quarterbacks have beaten Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes on the road in postseason environments? Well, Joe Burrow has done that. The Giants are a year away. I like Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
I like the program that's being built. People are getting ahead of themselves here with the expectations for the Giants this year. Cincinnati, if things go right, can be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You can't say that about the Giants. So I, for one, am not buying the Giants hype.
Very good. Door one, door two. What's a bigger crock of bleep? Will Levis, I'm a top 32 quarterback. Door two, it's what's on the inside that counts.
Oh my goodness, this is easy. It's door number one, because of course what's on the inside that counts. Come on, look at me, for goodness sakes. You look at me, you'd be like, oh, this guy, he's loud, he's New York, blah, blah, blah. But you know I'm a sweetheart, you know I'm a gentleman, I'm a scholar, I'm a wonderful, wonderful person. I'm tooting my own horn a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Luke and Paulie probably rolling their eyes as we speak, as much of the VSiN audience, but come on, man. I am a sucker for it's what's on the inside that counts. That said, though, not bad looking at the outside. I'll tell you that much. But Will Levis, on what planet is Will Levis a top 32 quarterback?
Terrible.
It's easy for me. He stinks.
Terrible last night. I mean, we cashed the ticket. We got lucky. He couldn't move the ball against the third, fourth stringers. Guys are going to be bagging groceries. They had one drive. This goes back to Cam Ward, too. They had one nice drive the whole game. And the only reason they won is because Rourke got hurt, and then it was Adrian Martinez the rest of the game. And every time they blitzed him, he'd, go in his pants. I mean, it's ridiculous. How can you make that comment and then you go out and you can't back it up and even move the ball in the preseason? Incredible. Oh, they were bad last night.
And you know what makes me sick to my stomach, Paulie? I saw arguably the greatest performance of Will Levis's life in person. I was down in South Florida.
Oh, you were? The Monday night games?
Oh, it was one of the worst games I've ever attended in my life. It was really the beginning of the end for the Mike McDaniel Tua-led Miami Dolphins, despite the fact that in Week 17 that year, they had a winning in-game that would have got them the one seed against Baltimore, and then they played the following week, winning in-game for the division. They lost that too, might I add, against the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. But it's one of the most stunning football comebacks I've ever witnessed in my life. And the fact that Will Levis will never be that good ever again, and it was like an out-of-body experience for him, makes it that much more tough to take.
Yeah, very good. So this is, I thought of this because with the New York angle, with you being on of that incredible Knicks run, where just they win the East, they win the title, they won 15 of 16, and they were covering every playoff game. It was bananas. What do you have a bigger problem with? Door one, bookie who stops taking action on an insane run, or door two, casinos kicking out card counters or winning players?
Okay, I have a bigger problem with the casinos, because it's supposed to be a legal place of action. And some would say, hey, well, card counting is not
it's a skill.
Legal.
Yeah, it's a
skill.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's a skill I can't master. I hope everybody at Circa is listening right now. Don't worry if I sit down at a blackjack table. I'm not smart enough to go and pull that off, not with my Syracuse education. And then the winning players nonsense. You know, I've had my buddy Raheem Palmer, my old colleague, uh-huh. who would always bring this up to me, that certain books, and not Circa, he loves Circa, they're great to him, but other books within the desert, they won't take his action. Like, they'll cap him out. I go, well, what kind of crap is that?
Yeah.
You have money? You're a legal player? You're supposed to be a place of all are welcome if they're going to put down the all-important American dollar. At least the bookie could say, hey, guess what? This is not a legal place of operation. And if I decide I'm not taking any more action, I'm not taking any more action. But this is why, Paulie, I would never want to be a bookie. Because if I was a bookie during that Knick playoff run,
oh.
it would have ruined the experience for me. Because I'd be in a poorhouse.
It was an all-time run. I mean, you couldn't put the number high enough. They were covering every single game. And not to mention all the futures that were cashing along the way as well. It was Anthony Curtis has been on this show many times. Like, I don't know, 20, 30 years. Not allowed to play blackjack here anyway. Get out. Nope, can't do it. You're too good. We don't want your action. That's incredible. It's like, wait, I count cards. I'm using my brain. Nope, we don't want you here. Get out. Most people think sports betting is all about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, match betting and arbitrage, a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers, and Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VSiN. That's ungambled.com/VSiN, promo code VSiN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square, Ungambled. Welcome aboard. That is fantastic. All right. Excellent job, JJ. That was fun.
That was a good one. You promised big stakes. You promised a big door one, door two. I think it's fair to say it delivered. It met expectations, and that's
all. I don't know. I'm gonna try to change your mind on Kyler Murray, and it's a lot to do with the coaching staff as well, and a big upgrade at quarterback. I think he's going to be a winner this year, and they're going to go over the win total. I'm going to try to talk you into it. Big news tonight: Sports Gambling Podcast is back, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Sean Green and Ryan Kramer. The creativity here. I mean, this guy brings it. A Gatling gun. We'll run down preseason plays he likes. I love a lot of his plays in the preseason. And a ton of futures in the NFL next. Welcome back, Paulie and JJ, and they are back tonight. Sports Gambling Podcast, Sean Green, Ryan Kramer, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. There's going to be a ton of NFL futures during the show, so check it out. They do an excellent job, very entertaining, and also very creative as we go through a lot of – so let's get – what do you think last night? So, JJ, we started the show about
– Kramer!
There we go.
Yes.
Thank you. Very good.
I got to be honest, and not to interrupt, but this has made my families very happy. Big Seinfeld fans, so they appreciate it.
Sure, excellent. And you get the picture as well. A lot of weird stuff happened yesterday. Richardson kept fumbling. -4 in the turnover differential for the Colts. Somehow they can't win. The Bengals fall asleep. Backdoor cover by Altmaier. And every game went under, and dogs went 5-0.
Yeah, you got to get locked into these coaches. Which ones care, which ones don't? I mean, the Bengals, great example. We've seen as bad as Dan Campbell has been, the Bengals have been worse in the preseason. And just in general, this is almost like a preparedness to play. As far as the dogs, I think we just got a little excited between last year, all the overs hitting.
Right.
The Hall of Fame game, everyone's like, football's back. The overs are in. And we saw mm-hmm. some ridiculous adjustments. Totals touching 40.
Yep.
And so I think it's just, you know, I don't think preseason has categorically changed, so I think just everything's kind of regressing back to what it should be, which is defense is ahead of the offense early in the preseason.
So 6-0 to the under in all the games, and there's three games tonight, and you're looking at both games, two of the three games under, Tampa and the Jets, Dolphins and Washington. I like this. Explain the reason why.
Yeah, so probably about 5 years now, I've been playing joint practice under. So when teams do their joint practices, it's generally 1, 2, sometimes even 3 days of practice. You hear about all the fights. It's basically an orchestrated preseason game. They get all the work in that they want to get in, so you see way more people sitting for the game, and you've seen each other for a week. So I think there's going to be a less of a exciting scoring. I mean, look at the Patriots-New England game. Or I'm sorry, the New England Colts game is a great example. Mm-hmm. Comes down to it's a tie, 13-13. Never really had to sweat it. I even had some alts in that game. But yeah, just the logic being when they see each other for those two practices during the week. And like you said, tonight we have the Bucs and the Jets. We have the Commanders and the Dolphins. And then we actually have Jacksonville and New Orleans tomorrow. So yeah, been playing it. Last 2 years, it's 24-18. It got crushed last year, so regression is due. And yeah, just blind auto five. I think we can get 36.5 in the Commanders and 35.5 in the Bucks Jets.
Okay, Ryan, from a preseason strategy standpoint, you mentioned you got to listen to what these coaches are telling you. At the same time, though, I mentioned this to Paulie earlier, you're going to see some wacky stuff from coaches in these preseason games. They don't care. Like, they're going to try stuff. They might be 4th-and-1 on the 25-yard line. We usually punt. No, it's preseason. We're going for it here. Or we're going to send a kicker out to go and kick a 71-yard field goal because, hey, it's preseason. Aside from that sort of intel that you're getting throughout the week, what is the biggest strategy that you try to have in identifying what's what in these preseason games? I know it's not an exact science. I know it's a case-by-case basis. But what would be a nugget that you'd share here with the listening audience?
Which coaches care? Which coaches don't? I mean, Harbaugh was famous for a long time dominating the preseason. Think about Sean Payton last preseason and Stitty having that preseason to remember. I think it's all about the coaches. I think some coaches, the new age coaches, think Kevin O'Connell, think Sean McVay. They don't necessarily care about winning or losing. They don't necessarily care about killing their players the same. And then think about, again, not to bring it back to Harbaugh, but these old school coaches. They hard nose. They want to get ready in the preseason. They practice hard, and they care about winning the games. And I think, you know, good example of that would be last night. Shanahan, no interest in winning that game. Hey, you know what? Let's practice some situational football here. Kick the field goal because we're down 9. Try an onside kick. I kind of like that as a coaching perspective. You should try the situational stuff that you don't get a lot of practice in. And so, yeah, I think it's all about coaching. I think it's all about which coaches do you really want to back. And you know, Sean Payton is probably the best example of games today in terms of a coach that I'd want to back.
Yep.
And I'd say also Commanders. Dan Quinn is horrendous in the preseason. I want to say the number is something like 3-13. They don't care about winning. And so, yeah, it's kind of a very rudimentary, dumb way to handicap, but that's what I'm doing. And then, yeah, I want to look to see who's going to play. I want to see, like, AR-15, good example. That was a showcase. They were trying to showcase him to the league. And so, yeah, maybe I'm not too interested in playing AR-15. And so, yeah, it's all about the coaches for me in the preseason.
Okay, Ryan, I want to get to a couple of week one plays because I'm salivating. I'm chomping at the bit. I can't wait for the real football to begin. Yeah, we'll see it in college first. But, you know, we have the Wednesday, the Thursday, and then the full slate on Sunday. Sunday night, Dallas has owned the Giants since Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning won their second Super Bowl. Now, I understand the Giants beat them in Week 18 last year. Who the hell cares? Nobody played. You, sir, though, are looking at Week 1 as a potential spot for Harbaugh and company to go and hit the ground running. What's the case for the Giants at +2.5?
Well, you make a great point. The Cowboys have owned the Giants. I've had a lot of opening weekends destroyed by Giants. I mean, think of the catastrophe a couple of years back. Andrew Thomas tears his hamstring. Mark Golinski has a funeral on the field. It's bad. But the case for is this is a different Giants team. Every beat reporter for the Giants who have covered the team for a long time, most of these guys have been there north of a decade. And it's all about how this is a different operation through multiple coaches. This is a professional operation. They are preparing for the game. It's not a country club. And so I think it's the combination of that, the combination of what this defense could be, because I truly believe the offense might take a little bit more time than the defense, depending on Neighbors' health right away. But that defense, I think, could make an impact right away. The Cowboys, I don't trust their offensive line like I have in the past. And I think if the Giants are going to shock the world, it's going to be because the defensive line comes out and dominates. And on the other side of the ball, it's because the Giants' offensive line is going to be strong. And for the first time in more than a decade of being a fan, they have an advantage offensive line. So the difference this year is that I think the Giants can win the trenches. And so then it just comes down to can they avoid getting destroyed by CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens.
Okay. So last time you were in studio, you said, how about a sprinkle on Cousins to lead in interceptions, because it doesn't look like they're going to any rush to put Mendoza in there. And who knows? It was great they went right down the field to start, and maybe they ride with Cousins for a while. That ticket looks better every day. How about this one? Same crap with Cam Ward yesterday. Just lazy. Almost had a fumble, scoop and score the other way. He almost had two interceptions. Cam Ward, most picks, 20-1.
You know, I grabbed this early at 18-1, got a bad number. It went to 20, and I grabbed it again, and I think it's actually 22-1 now. I don't get it. Brian Daboll is going to make the offense as easy as possible for Cam Ward. So to see Cam Ward struggle, regardless of the win-loss in the preseason, so many questions about what Cam Ward is. There's so many talent evaluators that seem to want to give him a chance, but I look at a guy that doesn't seem to be able to handle the football, doesn't seem to be able to read the defense. And again, I watched Daboll make offense very, very easy for folks for a number of years, and I expect him to do the same for Cam Ward, so I'm shocked right now. The other reason I love in the interception market, I'm handicapping which quarterbacks have the longest leashes, and there's no one on this team that's taken this job from him. So to me, he's double the price of a Geno Smith, double the price of a Brock Purdy. That feels like a great place to get in.
Chicago, Detroit, exacta box, plus 350. DraftKings?
Yeah, call me a hater. I am not in on the Packers, and I don't really think the Vikings with their quarterback situation are on the same level as the Bears and the Lions. And I understand the regression case for the Bears, but there's a little bit of a separation there in the tiering, so I don't mind kind of exacta boxing them for, what is it, plus 350, I think, is the price I have. And so that feels like a safe place, because you look at this Lions schedule, it's absurd how easy it is. And so I'm high on the Bears. It feels like a logical place. I think there's a line in the sand there. You have top two teams, and to get plus 350, I like that.
Oh, I love it, Paulie. I'm all over that. I'm telling that right now. Now, this one I'm not, because I'm bullish on this team, but the price is insane.
Yeah.
Right, 0-5 for the Broncos to get it going this year?
I mean, look, I like, full disclosure, I have the Broncos finishing 10-7, I believe, being a playoff team. But you look at the start of this schedule, and it is, I don't know if we have it to pull up on the screen, but the start of it, they're only favored one time. So you have at Chiefs, Jags at home, which is the one time they're favored, then Rams at Niners and at Chargers.
Ooh.
I get it. They're probably going to win a game, but you're talking about a team that's going to contend. The Chiefs at home, tough place. You know, Mahomes, that is a wild card. But then Jags are going to be a contender in the AFC, in my opinion. Rams are going to be a contender in the NFC. Niners are going to be a contender in the NFC. And Chargers are going to be. You're talking about like four of the best teams in the league. And so to get a 16-1 price, and I kind of view this as, if we get over that Chiefs game or over that Jags game, we're going to be in a pretty good situation. They're dogs the rest of the way. 16-1 seemed a little steep. And I would say, mark it on your calendar. Week 4, week 5, if they do have that bad start, that's going to be when we buy our futures on the Broncos.
Very good. All right. More futures coming up next. Again, they're back tonight. Sports Gambling Podcast, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Sean Green, Ryan Kramer, and there'll be a ton of futures they give out on the show. More futures on the other side. And also, if we love the NFL, why not play the NFL slot machine game? So he got me on this, and Derek Stevens was talking about it. And then a lady across the street on a $3 bet won $150,000. We'll tell you how to play coming up. Double Shot with Ryan Kramer, Sports Gambling Podcast, returns tonight right here on VSiN, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. They do an excellent job, and check that out tonight, and there'll be a ton of picks coming up like he just ran through in the first segment. Adam Chernoff thinks the Miami Dolphins could be a 1 or 2 win team. He can talk me into that, just about how bad the roster is, new coach, and Willis is in trouble if they have to play from behind. I think Arizona's going to be god-awful. This is a team that couldn't stop anything last year, lost 14 of their final 15 games. What's that stat you have on Arizona?
And they're the team that is so far winning the preseason, which is usually a bad omen. Yeah, sure enough, probably didn't disclose that he's a big Jets fan before he slandered the Dolphins.
Yes.
But, I mean, Arizona, week 12 is the first time they are catching less than a touchdown. They're dogs the entire year, but week 12 against the Commanders, first time they're catching less than a touchdown. And in seven of those games, they're catching double digits. You can get plus 250 on them to be the last team to record a win.
Like that. Yep.
I know this is on the a little bit more towards the sucker side of the bets that I'll make, but my goodness, which one of these games are they going to win? I guess if you're a Giants hater, which I am not, that's the game you circle. But
if they can't get that one, watch out.
It just goes. I mean, it's the Commanders. It's week 12.
Uh-huh. So you're drinking a Giants Kool-Aid. We talked about this earlier, but this is aggressive as well. An exact finish, Giants-Eagles 14-1.
It's another one of these. Well, hey, if I like the Giants and I like the ceiling outcome, division is 5 and change. Harbaugh to win coach of the year is 7 and change. I kind of have a lot of faith that it's going to be the Eagles as the second team. I am a bit of a Cowboys hater, full disclosure. But if I do believe that, why not just juice the price even higher, make it 14-1, say the Eagles are going to come into that second spot. And again, I am playing the ceiling outcomes this year because I'm high on Harbaugh. I'm high on what he's bringing to the organization. And I really, really like this defense. And yeah, Jackson Dart, that's a fun icing on top of the cake.
Okay, Ryan, Green Bay to me is one of the toughest teams to figure out. I have a really hard time with them because there's a baseline of consistency. LaFleur as a coach gets teams to the playoffs, it feels like year after year after year. But they're in a tough division. There's questions about Parsons. I do want to get to one of their studs that you're on that I absolutely love that I'm going to tell you on as far as this bet they're given for a player prop. But the Packers, who have a win total at 9.5, very, very tough NFC North. What do you stand on them this year?
I've never been in on Jordan Love. I've never really been on the idea of Jordan Love. I think you look at the offensive line stat nerds out there, they hate the offensive line of this Packers team, even though they have some continuity. And they lost some receiver talent. I understand they still have some talent there, and Tucker Kraft looks like he's going to be healthy, and that's kind of a big part of their offense. But between that and, you know, not knowing what this defense will be without Micah Parsons seems like for at least 5 weeks – without Jeff Hafley running the defense, there's too many variables for me to think they're going to kind of be in that same echelon as the Bears and the Lions in the division. So now, do I see them as a team that maybe could produce some scoring, produce some points, maybe a good fantasy team because the defense maybe takes a step back? They were only mediocre last year. People seem to forget that. And Jordan Love, he is on the list of kind of like Jameis Winston light when it comes to YOLO. He'll make the throws. And so,
yeah.
And again, I didn't bring it up. The running back room outside of Josh Jacobs is scary too. And so for a team that needs to run the ball, that's kind of why I'm down on them. But from an offensive output standpoint, I'll jump into it. But Tucker Kraft scored 6 touchdowns in limited time last year.
You can get him to score eight touchdowns at
plus 340. This year, and I think it's very likely he's the primary target. You know I love the first touchdowns, Paulie. I think he's going to be the primary target in the red zone as well. So absolutely the guy I'd be buying on the Packers.
Excellent.
Okay. I'm in on Kraft, too. I love him every which way. I wouldn't be surprised he scores double the touchdowns this year. I think he's got that sort of talent. It's just about durability, health. We'll see how many games he plays. AFC West, you like Kansas City in week 1. Maybe this is an unfair correlation, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do you like Kansas City win the division?
I don't. I'm in on the Chargers. Like I said, I think the Broncos will be around too. I don't know what to think about this Chiefs team. It seems like we're not getting a discount, really, on a team that has questions about the quarterback. We're dealing with the same type of receiver room problems we've always dealt with. And the big upgrade was Kenneth Walker. And just because Andy Reid's talking about Brian Westbrook, we're getting excited about what that offense could be. Defensively, while Spags, love him, brought the Giants a couple Super Bowls, always has developed young cornerbacks. They have some young quarterbacks and cornerbacks, and they're refreshing a part of the team that is sometimes difficult to get right back to it. And so I think whether it's a slow start or just they don't have that offensive ceiling that they've had in the past, and honestly, it's why I love their under for points this year. I think, if anything, maybe they are a little bit more of a running team. Maybe they do have to play a little bit more defense. I'm all in on the idea that the Chiefs slow start offense maybe never gets there. 415.5, I think, is the point total, which, you know, that's basically 24 points a game, a little bit more, I think. So that feels a little bit steep. And again, I think I got to see Mahomes come back. He was not that great last year. People seem to forget that. They forget that he tore his ACL at the end of the year. the throwaway season just because he got banged up. So yeah, I'm out on them being super successful. It's hard to play the floor with them just because they have Andy Reid and Mahomes, though.
So we love the NFL. Why not play the NFL slot machine game? That's out, right? And I know Kelly Stewart hit a jackpot on this the first time I saw on social media. You love to play the game. Derek Stevens told me about that. And then across the street, a lady on a $3 bet using the Cleveland Browns won $150,000. At the Golden Gate, I talked to the security guy. He says that the Progressive hits all the time over there. You don't have to bet a lot a hand. So what you need is you need the three NFL logos or four helmets or more. Here's a video, and there's a different one at Circa as opposed to Golden Gate, but here's a big win you had, and let's try to talk people into playing this game and how it works.
I'll tell you what, I wasn't a slot player, but I'm an NFL fan, though, and a couple of years back, we see this machine in the Circa, and it's like, what is this? And actually, that year, we had done some Super Bowl media work, and they had some demo machines, and so it's like, this is awesome. You're playing a slot. They show highlights when you win the bonus. It got me hooked. And then since, they've kind of released new versions every year. And to your point, the new one that they've released is, I don't even know how to describe it. They've kind of gamified it into all the other games where you have like these cartoon characters. And like you said,
yeah, you pick
every
your team.
Time yep. I get a bonus on this new machine, it pays out something. And so,
yeah.
I, again, not a slot advantage player. I've learned how to slot snipe a couple of machines, but the NFL, these kicking, specifically with the new NFL machine you're talking about, these kicking bonuses are out of control. And that seems to be the one consistent with all the aristocrat NFL games. Get the kicking bonus. You get the kicking bonus.
Field goal frenzy. You texted me that. Yeah. I go, what do I need to do? What do I need? And you said field goal frenzy.
That's what the new one's called. On the machine right out here, it's called clutch kick. But that is the one where you're, you know, maybe you're not getting the $1 million jackpot or whatever, but that's the one that's going to pay out your 100X or whatever.
Luke, can you put that last one up again? With the screen that I sent you,
what you
guys had, because this is what you're talking about. This was me. I had three cracks at 150,000 here.
Ugh.
If this is the super, if I get that one on the top right, I had three cracks at it. If you fill it up, and that's what that gal did. If you fill it up, you get the mega bonus, and I had eight of the nine.
The problem with getting into these slots is the heartbreak. Because you get so close, whether it's the poker machine, it's just because you are so close. And I think about it, it's like the lottery. I sit in this machine and I'm like, well, what if I do win this $1.5 million? What am I going to do with it?
You start spending
it.
And
I'm like, you know what? Go back to the craps table. That's a more reasonable game to play.
That's what I like to hear. Good answer. Enough of the slot crap.
Well, hey, JJ, when you're in Vegas, that's what sounds like we have a date at the craps table.
Oh, that's a given. You can pencil it in August 31st, September 1st, right outside the VSiN studios at Circa. After I pop in and have a little fun with Paulie and Mitch, they'll hear me screaming, even though those are soundproof studios, as you know.
I'm ready.
They're not soundproof for me. Same dice, hit the O, hit the hard six, and your comebacks. And don't play the don't pass on my table. Don't be that guy.
Get out of here. Right, get out of here.
Not too long ago, I parlay the hard ways all the way, usually. We hit a little hard four bank, like 10 to 100 to 200. And then, so we cashed it, three times?
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Good job. We'll be watching tonight.
Yeah.
Good
absolutely.
To have you back.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. VSiN's on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off. Fantasy football style snake draft hosted by Dustin. Win totals, division winners. Last year's competitors are back for round two. We have some newcomers. Nick Bakay. Fan of him, does an excellent job. The guru, John Hansen, Keyshawn Johnson in studio with us on Thursday as well. Don't just watch the future draft, profit from it. Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's going to be a fun week next week. We got that as well. And next Friday, Lisa Ann in studio. I know she watches the show, but the first time ever she's going to be in studio.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Yep.
And Lisa Ann next week.
How about that?
Look at you.
That's not bad.
Look at you.
Yeah. And Robert Walker's on Tuesday to talk about Bite Night and then the guy at the Stardust who walked out with $500,000 that was never heard from again. Can't wait for next week's programs. MLB card up next. This team's in a bad funk, but they've won 10 of 11 against their opponent.